Our scripture this morning is from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 4, verses 12 through 25. If you'd like to follow along, this can be found in the Pew Bibles beginning on page 3 in the New Testament. As we prepare to hear God's word, let us pray. Saving God, source of our calling, your word is full of power and glory. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon us so that we may receive your grace in these words and live as your beloved children, through Jesus Christ our Lord, the very Word made flesh. Amen. Now when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in the Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what has been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. So his fame spread through all of Syria, and they brought to him all the sick, those who were afflicted with various diseases and pains, demonics, epileptics, and paralytics. And he cured them. And great crowds followed him from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and from beyond the Jordan. Beloved of God, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So we continue on this week, back in Matthew's gospel account after a brief detour in John last week. And in this week's reading, Jesus has just been baptized. We looked at that a couple weeks ago, and then the Spirit that came down, that opened the heavens at his baptism, that same Spirit, after his baptism, led him into the wilderness, where he faced and overcame that wilderness temptation by the devil. And now he has begun what we call his public ministry. From that time, Matthew writes, from that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." That's his mission, his ministry. That's it. That's Jesus' mission and ministry, proclaiming that the kingdom of heaven has come near. And working out what all that means and looks like and the response that it entails, that's what we think of as Jesus, his ministry, his public ministry. In fact, throughout his ministry, those roughly 3 years or so, that's what Jesus proclaimed and taught about the most, the kingdom of heaven. Or in the phrasing, if you're reading in Matthew and Luke, they phrase it as the kingdom of God, same thing. Right, think of all the topics that we think of Jesus addressing and talking about. Right, perhaps judgment or forgiveness, grace, prayer, faith, love, all those things. But the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God that has come near, that is what he talked about the most. And all those other things, well, they come about and he talks and teaches about them because they come under this thing called the kingdom of heaven. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, repent, turn." That's what repent means. right? It means to turn, and not even primarily turning away from something, but you only turn away from one thing, right? Because you're turning toward something else. Repent, Jesus says. Turn towards this here. You're going to turn away from some stuff, but that's because you're turning towards this here, the kingdom of heaven that has come near in him, in Jesus. Turn towards this. And so he's walking now. He's walking by the Sea of Galilee, and he sees these two brothers, Peter and Andrew. They're fishermen, and they're casting their nets. And he does something strange, doesn't he? I mean, we perhaps don't hear it as strange because it's become a saying that we know and are familiar with. But it's kind of a strange thing to say, isn't it? He sees them out there fishing with their nets, and he says, "Hey, follow me, and I'll make you fish for people." That's a weird thing to say. I will make you, and I will make you like I'm going to force or compel you, but make as in create, right? The word make there is a Greek word. It's a fun little Greek word, poieo. Poieo. And you can kind of hear a similarity with an English word, perhaps the English word poem, poi, poem, poieo. Poieo in the Greek is to make something as in a creative artistic expression, to form and fashion it with meaning and beauty and intention. That's what Jesus says. Follow me, and I will make you. I will form and create you to be fishers of people. And so what happens? Well, immediately they left their nets and they followed him. Just dropped them right over there. Started following. Right, there must have been something profoundly compelling about this guy walking along, proclaiming repentance and the nearness of the kingdom of heaven. And so they go on. And Jesus sees these two other brothers, James and John, and their dad Zebedee. They're all three in the boat preparing their fishing nets to fish, to catch some fish. And Jesus calls to them, presumably with something along the same lines he's just said to Simon and Andrew. And the same thing happens. Simon and Andrew immediately, they drop their nets, they leave their boat, they jump down to their boat, they left their boat with their father still sitting there holding the nets. Right? I would love to hear an account of this from Zebedee's perspective, right? Don't you wish we could get a glimpse into what Zebedee is thinking as they're out there ready for another day of fishing with the family business, and suddenly this guy shows up on the shore and his sons drop their nets and jump out of the boat, leave him by himself in the boat, and they just take off. And so off they go throughout Galilee, Jesus teaching and proclaiming, it says now, the good news. Good news, the gospel, that's that word gospel, the good news, the good story of the kingdom that has come near, and curing every disease and sickness among the people, and a following develops. Come, Jesus implores these first disciples, come, follow me. Last week we looked at that promise of Jesus, come and see. And here's this week's promise. Follow me, Jesus says. Follow me, and I will creatively and lovingly form and fashion you. I will make you fishers. I will form and transform you into something new. Perhaps not altogether unconnected from who you are now, but your identity is now deepened in light of me, Jesus says, in light of me and the kingdom of heaven that has drawn near in me. Follow me, and you will enter into this very ministry of the kingdom of heaven. Follow me, and here's what I'm going to do. Here's the promise. I'm going to change you. As you're following me, I'm going to change you. I'm going to transform you so that you begin to be someone who reflects me. Jesus says, he promises. Now, for these first disciples, this call to follow Jesus meant dropping everything, literally, dropping their nets, their livelihood, their source and their sense of security in the world, even the way their relationships worked with their family as it currently was, leaving, dropping, letting go, and releasing their nets and their boat, and jumping into this new thing that God had called them into, to go, that they would become fishers now of people. And that may very well be what it looks like for some of us to follow Jesus, to maybe completely change course, dropping everything, right? Dropping everything to leave a current job or vocation and enter a completely new one. Perhaps it's to hear God call you to be a missionary or to go to seminary and into quote-unquote full-time ministry, to follow Jesus into something completely new. But for others of us, the call to follow Jesus, I suspect, isn't quite so dramatic, at least not on the surface. Maybe what it is to see where you are, your vocation or the current way you've been using your gifts and time and energy and imagination and all that, but to see all of it in a deeper light. That maybe Jesus' call isn't for you to release or drop or leave that behind, but it's to leave, to drop, and to release your understanding of what all that means for a completely new understanding. All of that now seen through the lens, seen in the light of the ever-drawing nearness of the kingdom of heaven. To know that the promise God makes here, right here, is that to follow Jesus, to hear him call to you, is a promise that you will be changed. And changed not just for yourself, but changed and equipped and empowered to join Jesus in his proclamation and teaching and work and healing of the kingdom of heaven here and now. Yes, some may be called, some of you may be called to drop your nets of one vocation or one way of life for a completely different type of net. Others, however, maybe even most of us here, maybe it's not being called into doing something totally different, but rather being called into a new vision and understanding of who we are, of who you are, of who Jesus is forming you to be, right there in the midst, and maybe even through whatever it is that you are doing. Here in this congregation, we have parents and children and grandchildren, grandparents. We have friends and neighbors. We have stay-at-home parents and working parents. We have painters and engineers. We have teachers and professors, musicians, and those who work in industries like insurance or the medical industry. We have retirees and students and those in search of work. We have computer programmers and assisted living workers. We have retail workers and bosses and employees and those who are self-employed or owners of small businesses or shops. We have husbands and wives and singles, brothers and sisters, children, grandchildren, and neighbors. And all of these things, all of these vocations, these callings, that's what the word vocation means. And all of these callings, Jesus gives you a promise. And so what might it mean for us to hear this promise and where you are? And where you are in it. To hear Jesus calling you and calling us to follow him in proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of heaven. What might it look like to cast the nets of the kingdom as a parent or grandparent, or as a child or a grandchild, as a friend, as a neighbor, as a teacher or a professor or a student or an artist? Or as someone who's still not sure what it is you're supposed to be doing. or as an engineer or a retiree, as an employee or an employer. Jesus has come not just to call us into the kingdom of heaven, which, by the way, Jesus' proclamations there about the nearness of the kingdom of heaven, they are not so much about how to make sure you have a ticket to another world after you die. They are not so much a threat about well, you never know what's lurking around the corner. But rather, it's a promise of what has come near and alongside of you, even right now and right here. These are proclamations about the reality, the news, that in him, in Jesus, God's rule and reign and realm of grace and mercy, judgment and justice, love and shalom, redemption and healing, and the defeat of all the things of sin and death. That in him, all the things of being made new are showing up and invading this world. In short, he is proclaiming the reality and the promise of that prayer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus has come to call us to follow him in casting that net far and wide, here and now. Casting the net of the kingdom of heaven in and through your life and our life together. And that he has promised to be shaping and forming and creating in us as we do it. This promise of ministry, it is a promise of grace. This promise of who he will make us to be is a promise of grace for us. Grace for you, grace for those around you, and grace for the world. For there can be no other word used to describe what it is for God to call us into this ministry, for God to call and equip and shape and form us to be partners in, to reflect his very work of the good news of the kingdom of heaven that has come near, calling us and calling you into the promise of a so very near kingdom. And this idea of these nets. I love the image of fishing here, right? The children's message, we had the fishing pole and a net. This particular image, Matthew's clear to tell us how these four have been fishing, right? It's not a fishing image of hooks and injury or of some sort of weird bait and switch, is it? No, it's one of gathering in. That's what nets do. They gather in. Of gathering in the net of God's grace and healing and hope and promise. These early disciples, these early followers of Jesus, right? Yes, they dropped everything. Yes, they followed this man Jesus into an unknown and uncertain future. But they did so on the basis of the promise that he had given them. That they would be made into the sorts of people that God would use to cast his grace and love and redemption and shalom into the world. They did so because this net that they were being called to cast and proclaim was also the very thing, as they discovered, the very thing that was holding them and gathering them in as well. And it's no less for us, and for you, for me. I do not know where God is specifically and particularly calling each of us as individuals. But I do know that God has called all of us into this promise. Not that it looks the same for each and every one of us, or that God calls us all to quit our current jobs or stations in life or things like that and, I don't know, go become itinerant preachers wandering around. For some, maybe, following Jesus means a radical change in profession. But for others of us, maybe even most of us, following Jesus means realizing and seeing understanding that how we engage life and the world and how we live and move in it, including jobs and careers and seasons of rest or retirement or family relationships, neighborhood relationships, all those things are not just things that we do, but they are callings. And they are a part of this net of grace and love and redemption that Jesus has come to cast, and that he even invites us to cast with him. This is his promise. That whether we are dropping or releasing something, or picking up something new, or holding on to where God already has us, Jesus' promise is that in following him, we will be made new. And who we are in those things will be made new. And in all those things that he promises, in all those things, he promises grace that we may become more and more agents of the beauty and abundance of the kingdom drawn near. Places and opportunities to cast nets of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control of the kingdom of heaven drawn and drawing near. And so here's the question. That's the promise. So here's the question. Where does God have you? What are your vocations, your callings in life that you have found yourself in? Wider than your job, if you're employed somewhere. That's a part of it, but also your callings as a friend, as a neighbor, as a parent, a child. All these sorts of things, all those places where you express your talents and gifts and loves and hopes. And they may be particular vocations for a season or vocations for far longer. But where might Jesus be inviting you into his ministry of the kingdom? Where is he inviting you to see how near it is to you right now? Maybe it does mean letting go, releasing, or dropping what you're doing. Or maybe it means simply letting go, releasing, or dropping your understanding, your vision, your perspective of what God is doing or what God's able or not able to do, and picking up Jesus' vision, his perspective of what is actually going on in and through who you are and the places you find yourself, the places he has placed you, and what might yet be possible, because the kingdom is near. But whatever it is, know this. His promise of ministry here to these early disciples is his promise to us here today. And it is a promise of grace, because it is a promise that he is making us into people whose lives reflect more and more the kingdom of heaven. It is a promise of grace because it is a promise that his kingdom is ever gathering in, sheltering, and pulling close, reconciling all things in and to him. It is a promise of grace because it is a promise that all who follow him get to be a part of it, get to discover it more and more by participating in it. And that is quite a promise. What a thing to turn to and turn towards. The kingdom of heaven drawn near and our participation in it. What a thing to turn to. What a thing to turn towards. Repent indeed. Family, let us repent to that and go do some fishing. Hallelujah. Amen.